Welcome back to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. So much to talk about this week. Of course, it is Earth Week this Friday, April 22nd, the 41st anniversary of Earth Day. And, of course, it was a year ago, Earth Day, that we were beginning to see the full impact of the Deepwater Horizon disaster with the leak starting on the 22nd on Earth Day. How prophetic is that? And then it was exactly a year ago today, April 20th, that explosion occurred, killing 11 men, and just the beginning of a series of events that have continued to be told and totaled. And we are looking at an environmental disaster that, you know, is the worst in U.S. history. So that's what we're observing today. Also, though, some good news. And as I mentioned, that was happening in D.C. over the weekend. Over 3 days, thousands of young people, for the most part young people, came together for an Energy Action Summit. PowerShift 2011, it's called. And there were some fiery speeches. And we're going to play you those excerpts because they're really worth hearing. So I'm going to begin with the head of Green for All. That's an organization that Van Jones helped start, Phaedra Ellis Lampkins. Listen to this as she addressed a crowd of thousands of cheering young people. She is head of Green for All, and she was talking at PowerShift in D.C. By the way, President Obama made a surprise appearance at that gathering and met with young people, and he's also about to hold a town hall meeting on Facebook today talking about the anniversary of the BP disaster. So lots going on, lots to talk about, but now let's take a listen.
Let me start with a simple message for the polluters. The industry's ruining our air and water. Your time is up. To those whose dirty politics are focused on their bank accounts and not our communities, your time is up. To those who put short-term profits over our long-term health, it's over. You're done. We're taking our power back. See, what they want is they want billions of dollars in subsidies that are handed out to oil companies. They want politicians to protect polluters while kids get asthma. They think the success of this country should be decided and defined by banks. I wanted to bring some folks in front of you. These are the ambassadors and fellows of Green for All who come from places across the country. These folks are at the forefront of change. Progress is part of the American story. You see, the polluters don't want the next chapter to be written because in it, we have the power. And you know what they want us to do? They want us to be afraid. They want us to not take action. They want us to believe that fracking is safer. They want us, they tell us, you know, you don't worry. They want us to, in fact, believe that if we don't take action, we won't make change. Let's give a big round of applause for the folks that stood up in the American Congress 2 days ago and said, enough is enough. And what they don't understand about all of you is that this is where liberation happens, that we're refusing to be divided by black and brown, that we're refusing to be divided by gay and straight, that we're refusing to be divided by women and men, that we're refusing to be divided. Ours is a movement that recognizes the liberation of all people is the best way to define the environment. That we recognize that ours is a movement of liberation. It is a movement that recognizes that all people will be free. This is not a movement against America. This is the movement for America. See, they think that we just want to liberate dolphins and turtles. What they don't know is we understand that the fight against the environment is the same people fighting against people. That they want us to not be strong. So here's what I have to say to you. When people say what you did today, today you prepared to take over this country. This is our America! Are you ready? Is it green for all? Green for all! Not for some! It's green for all!
I would say to Ellis Lampkins of Green for All, addressing the crowd at Power Shift 2011 in D.C. over the weekend. I love what she said. I loved how she said it. If you liked it, you're going to love what Bill McKibben had to say at that same conference. Here is Bill McKibben, of course, climate activist, educator extraordinaire, and the founder of 350.org. Here's Bill McKibben.
Thank you all. All right. All right. Listen up. Listen up. Very, very few people can ever say that they are in the single most important place they could possibly be, doing the single most important thing they could possibly be doing. That's you here now. You are the movement that we need if we're going to win in the few years that we have. You have the skills now. You are making the connections. And there is no one else. It is you. That is a great honor, and that is a terrible burden. There is no one else. The science is the easy part of this. Grim, but easy. 2010 was the warmest year on record, and it was warm. We were on the phone one day with our 350 crew in Pakistan, and one of them said, "It's hot here today." And I was surprised to hear him say it, because it's usually hot in Pakistan in the summer. And he said, "No, it's really hot. We just set the new all-time Asia temperature record, 129 degrees. That kind of heat melts the Arctic. That kind of heat causes drought so deep across Russia that the Kremlin stops all grain export. That kind of heat causes the flooding that still has 4 million people across Pakistan homeless tonight. It's tough, it's grim, but the good news at least is that it's clear, the science. We have a number, 350 parts per million, 350, the most important number on Earth, as the NASA team put it in January of 2008. Any value for carbon in the atmosphere greater than 350 parts per million is not compatible with the planet on which civilization developed and to which life on Earth is adapted. Getting back to 350 parts per million will be very, very tough, the toughest thing human beings have ever done, but there is no use complaining about it. It's just physics and chemistry. That's what we have to do. But if the scientific method has worked splendidly to outline our dilemma, that's how badly the political method has worked to solve it. Think about our own country, historically the biggest source of carbon emissions. Last summer, the Senate refused to even take a vote on the tepid, moderate, tame climate bill that was before it. Last week, the House voted 248 to 174 to pass a resolution saying global warming wasn't real. It was one of the most embarrassing votes the Congress has ever taken. They believe that because they can amend the tax laws, they can amend the laws of nature too. But they can't. I'm awful glad a few of you went up to the visitors gallery to talk some sense to them last week. Even the White House, 2 weeks ago, the Interior Secretary, who spoke here 2 years ago, Ken Salazar, signed a piece of paper opening 750 million tons of coal under federal land in Wyoming to mining. That's like opening 300 new coal-fired power plants and running them for a year. That's a disgrace. But you know what? We know why we're in trouble. We understand the physics and chemistry of political power. In this case, it's not carbon dioxide that rules the day, it's money. Many of you are in the District of Columbia for the first time, and it looks clean and it looks sparkling. No, this city is as polluted as Beijing. But instead of coal smoke, it's polluted by money. 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 Money warps. Money warps our political life. It obscures our vision. But just like with physics and chemistry, there's no use whining. We know now what we need to do. And the first thing we need to do is build a movement. We will never have as much money as the oil companies. So we need a different currency to work in. We need bodies. We need creativity. We need spirit. $350.org has been like a beta test for that movement. It began with youth here at PowerShift. Kids who were here at PowerShift 4 years ago, it's now spread around the planet. In the last 2 years, there have been 15,000 demonstrations in 189 nations. CNN called it the most widespread political activity in the planet's history. But it needs to get bigger still. On the first Earth Day in 1970, there were 20 million Americans in the street, 1 in 10 Americans. That's the kind of size we need. And so, on September 24th, we need your help. September 24th is the next big day of action. We're calling it Moving Planet. And in those 189 nations, people will be in motion. Much of it will be on bicycles, because the bicycle is one of the few tools that rich and poor both use.
You're listening to Bill McKibben addressing some 10,000 climate activists in D.C. a few days ago at PowerShift 2011. Again, we're listening to Bill McKibben's impassioned speech this weekend at PowerShift.
All right. September 24th, I cannot wait to see the pictures. We are not going to wait for the politicians to move. We're going to create the future that we need ourselves. But that movement doesn't just need to be bigger. It needs to be sharper, too, more aggressive. You know what? At Copenhagen, we got 117 nations to sign on to that 350 target. That was good. But they were the wrong 117 nations. They were the poorest and most vulnerable nations, the most addicted nations, led by our own, weren't yet willing to bite the bullet, so that's where we've got to go to work. That work to deal with that money pollution, that work starts Monday at 10 o'clock in Lafayette Square. Across from the White House and next to a place called the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Now, the Koch brothers are high peaks of corruption. They're high peaks, but the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is the Everest of dirty money. It boasts on its web page that it is the biggest lobby in Washington. In fact, it spends more money lobbying than the next 5 lobbies combined. It spent more money on politics last year than the Republican National Committee and the Democratic National Committee combined, and 94% of that went to climate deniers. We cannot stop their money, but we can strip them of their credibility. They claim to represent all American business, but they don't. 55% of their funding came from 16 companies. They don't have to say who those companies are, but it's easy to tell when you watch what they do. They spend their time lobbying to make sure the planet heats up as fast as it possibly can. They sent a legal brief to the EPA last year saying that they should take no action on climate change because if the planet warmed, humans could alter their behavior and their physiology to deal with the problem. I don't even really know what that means, alter your physiology. grow gills? I don't know. But I tell you this. I am too old to change my physiology, and y'all are too good looking. But I will adapt my behavior. Every day now, I will roll out of bed and go to work fighting them. Hell, I will go to bed at night and try to dream up new ways to fight. We're going to adapt our behavior, all right. We're going to adapt our behavior now to fight on every front. I'm sorry if that sounds aggressive, but there we are. 22 years ago, I wrote the first book about climate change, and I've gotten to watch it all, and I know that simply persuasion will not do. We need to fight. Now, we need to fight nonviolently and with civil disobedience. You will hear from my friend Tim DeChristopher in a moment, and more to come. But if you're going to go that route, one thing you need to make sure is that you manage to get across in your witness that you are not the radicals in this fight. The radicals are the people who are fundamentally altering the composition of the atmosphere. That is the most radical thing people have ever done.
Again, you're listening to Bill McKibben speaking to a large crowd at the PowerShift conference over the weekend. We're going to stay with the rest of the speech just a couple more minutes. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am and getting fired up.
Not just the side of our brain that likes bar graphs and pie charts, but all our heart and all our soul. Tomorrow you need to go down, or tonight, behind Hall B downstairs and help them build the artwork for Monday morning. We need to fight with unity. We need to have a coherent voice. That's why last week we joined with our friends at OneSky to build this bigger, stronger 350.org. We need to speak with one loud voice because we are fighting for, well, we're fighting for your future. So far, we've raised the temperature of the planet 1 degree, and that's done all that I've described. It's melted the Arctic. It's changed the oceans. The climatologists tell us that unless we act with great speed and courage, that 1 degree will be 5 degrees before this century is out. And if we do that, then the world that we leave behind will be a ruined world. We fight not just for ourselves. We fight for the beauty of this place, for cool trout streams and deep spruce woods, for chilly fog rising off the Pacific and deep snow quieting the mountains. We fight for all the rest of creation that shares this planet with us, a creation so rich that we don't even know half the species on Earth that we're wiping out. And of course, we fight alongside our brothers and sisters around the world. You've seen the pictures as I talk. These are our comrades. Most of these people that you see come from places that have not caused this problem. And yet they're willing to be in deep solidarity with us. That's truly admirable, and it puts a real moral burden on us. Never let anyone tell you that environmentalism is something that rich white people do. Most of the people that we work with around the world are poor and black and brown and Asian and young, because that's what most of the world is made up of, and they care about the future as much as anyone else. We have to fight. We have to fight, finally, without any guarantee that we're going to win. We have waited late to get started, and our adversaries are strong, and we do not know how this is going to come out. If you were a betting person, you might bet we were going to lose, because so far that's what's happened. But that's not a bet you're allowed to make. The only thing that a morally awake person can do when the worst thing that ever happened is happening is try to change those odds. I have spent most of my last few years in rooms around the world with brave people, many of whom will be refugees before the century is out, some of whom may be dead from climate change before the century is out. No guarantee that we will win, but from them a complete guarantee that we will fight with everything we have. It is always an honor for me to be in those rooms. It is the greatest of honors to be with you tonight. No guarantee that we will win, but we will fight side by side as long as we've got. Thank you all so much.
That has been Bill McKibben. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I do. I hope you got fired up, riled up. Lord knows we need to rally the troops, and the good news is that out of that conference, it wasn't just a gathering to hear speeches. It was the beginning, the launch of a national campaign of climate activism, our youth leading the way. Let's the rest of us wake up, and on this anniversary of Earth Day and so many other events, let's please go forth with our eyes and ears open and mostly our mouths open. Speak loudly, speak widely. Let's wake up the slumbering masses. Have a great Earth Day. See you next week.